Faith persistence pays. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 30. From thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. All sickness is not demon possession, but some of it is. And you just, God leads in knowing the difference there. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it in unto the dogs. And she answered, I'll never come back to this church again. I thought preachers were supposed to be men of compassion. But you know what? She answered and she said unto him, yes, Lord. Two of the best words you'll ever say, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. And the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone and her daughter laid upon the bed. Praise God. I believe in faith. Someone said, you still preach that faith stuff? I don't know anything else to preach. If I'm preaching on hell, I'm believing you're not going there. If I'm preaching on healing, I'm believing that healing power will come to every person in the house. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave your city without it. Don't go anywhere without faith in God. But as I look at this woman, there's so much to learn. And we're going to be discussing men as well as this Syrophoenician woman. There's a thread that I want to weave here. And I don't have time to do it completely, but we'll take it as far as we can go with it. The people that I'm talking about today, they were needy. And in this woman's situation, it was her child that was needy. But you know, as a parent, when your children hurt, you hurt. You know what hurts? And when you see them going through hurtful situations, when you see things in their lives, some things we can help and some things we can't help. Some things can only come from their own faith decisions and so on. But she was needy. Her daughter needed a miracle of deliverance. But she did not qualify. Why? Because she was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician woman. And Jesus came unto his own. And his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, we don't really think like that all the time because, we love John 3:16 and John 3:16 is true. And there were people that broke through the barrier before Calvary because faith is the great crossover. And so many things were not supposed to be, but faith just said, I'll have it no other way. And so she did not qualify. She was not eligible. She was not eligible for a miracle because Jesus had come to the Jewish people. And in the natural, she did not qualify. But there's another insight here. She didn't buy into that. Some of you are defeated because you've bought into defeat. Some of you are defeated because you've let Satan sell you the big lie that you don't have a choice. God doesn't care. Thank God for Oral Roberts who told us so many years ago, God is a good God. God is a good God. One of the heaviest pieces of theology came from Flip Wilson years ago when he said, if there ain't no devil, who's up to all this devilment? Pretty good theology, huh? I don't know if that was a funny line or a believed line on his part. I don't know. But you see, she didn't buy into that because faith crosses all barriers. And the thing I love about faith, nothing is impossible to those who believe. If you could cancel my understanding and faith in that, I'd have to close my Bible and say I'll live for God. But you see, after these many years of pastoring and all the things we're involved in, every day is a faith day for me. Everything in my life is a faith deal. Me, my companion, my children, my grandchildren, the church that I pastor, the staff that I pastor, there's no automatic formulas for everything. Every step is a step of faith. The just shall live by his faith. That's what the Word of God says. So as I look at this woman, and then Jesus calls her a dog. Oh man, that'd make the Dallas Morning News or the 4-Star Telegram. That'd make a real good hot spot. And I want to say this because this is an original line that God gave me, and it's true. She could have become offended, and this story would have never had a completion. But the spirit of offense is the legal drug of believers. We can get offended and blame it on God. God told me so. Biggest frustration you ever have in trying to help somebody. Well, God told me so. Oh, get off. Get a brain. Get a heart. A spirit of offense. She refused it. She could have gone off bent out of shape. But we'll deal with what happened here in just a moment. Now, you know, this is a thread all the way through the Gospels. You take the people that came to Jesus. Over in Mark 2, I'm just in Mark. I'm having a lot of fun in Mark during these days. Mark the 2nd chapter. There were 4 men who had a friend. He needed a miracle. So they went to the local healing service. But they couldn't get in the house. But remember, faith crosses all lines. Faith crosses all barriers. Faith. I like this. Faith always finds a way to do the will of God. And so when they said, I'm sorry, the fire marshal said, no one else can enter into this building. They saw a stairway going up to the roof. So here they go. 4 guys take their buddy up to the roof. And one tile at a time, or however that roof was constructed, they begin to tear it apart. And it didn't seem to hurt Jesus' anointing at all. And so while he's trying to minister, dirt's falling down and sounds like the termites are having a good day if that's what's happening. And all of a sudden you look up and Jesus sees 4 sets of white teeth. And he looks into the countenance of that big faith grin of 4 guys. Said, here it is, Jesus. You got to make room for him now. He's coming on your head right here. And so they put him right at the feet of Jesus. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Mark the 2nd chapter. Roof torn off because some men had a need. They came to Jesus and they would not be denied. Persistent faith pays, or faith persistence pays. Any way you want to say it. Into Mark the 4th chapter. It's teach and show. As you look at the people that were fed. You know, both in the 5,000 and the 4,000. Both the 5,000 and the 4,000 came to church not asking anything except to hear the Word of God. The 5,000. Few loaves, few fishes. 4,000. Can you imagine people on one of these occasions? They were there 3 days. Long-winded preacher. Long-winded teacher. 4 days. And finally, 3 days. And finally, the disciples got bent out of shape and they said, Lord, send them away. It's the wrong time. We don't have anything to... I mean, Jesus has been preaching faith for 3 days. And they've got all the reasons that it can't come to pass. These disciples were something else, weren't they? And Jesus said, they need not go away. Give you them to eat. Well, Lord, all we have is these loaves and a few fishes. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus can take your little bit and make it a big bit. He can take your nothing and make it to feed a multitude. Well, going on to Mark, the fifth chapter. Just taking a little quick journey here. I'm not going all the way through Mark. But there was a man that was full of the devil. Legion. And when he heard about Jesus, he ran to Jesus. Now this, I'm seeing things I've never seen before. Every time I read the word, I see things and insights. What's a man full of the devil doing running to Jesus? You'd think he'd go the other way. But you see, the devil's just crazy enough to go along with some things. And here this man, when he hears of Jesus, he runs. He runs. He runs to Jesus. Now, you know, we'd go along just, you know. I'm weaving a thread here. The people that receive from God are persistent people who refuse to take no for an answer. You can give them all the reasons. You can have all the excuses. But they hear about Jesus. They hear what Jesus can do. On this occasion, they found out where Jesus was located. And they run to Jesus. Legion runs to Jesus. And the devil said, wait a minute. We're on dangerous ground here. And so he begins to manifest. The poor man's full of the devil. It begins to manifest. And God took care of that. Jesus took care of that. And you know, swine have more sense than people. I mean, the swine said we'd rather die in the sea than live with the devil. But you know, when he was set free, he was clothed in his right mind, happy. And people said, we don't understand him now. You ever see that? You know, the world understands you while you're mean as the devil. Because you're acting just like them. But now he's set free, delivered, clothed, and in his right mind. Don't have time. Every one of these is a story all its own. And it's a true story. He got set free. And the Bible said Jesus had compassion on him. Well, there's Jairus that comes to Jesus, ruler of the synagogue. This touches my heart because he said, my little daughter, getting kind of close to home here, my little daughter. And at this point, he said she's at the point of death. But you see, he saw Jesus. He came and fell at his feet. Came and fell at his feet. And the Bible said, the King James said, besought him greatly. Greatly. And of course, he's on his way now. Jesus does make house calls. I remember when Dr. Tuzel would come to our home many years ago. Doctor still made house calls. And I remember more than once he'd come. Different situations. And Dr. Clonch is the one I was trying to think of a moment ago. That he was our family many, 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 many years ago. But there was another one that I saw here. And it'll all come together here in a moment. There was a woman with an issue of blood. Been sick for a long time. Long time. And she heard about Jesus. And she came to the worst place possible. A throng. A crowd. And that's when most of us get discouraged. If nobody here knows your name, Jesus knows your name. If no one here knows enough about you to care about you, Jesus knows you and Jesus cares about you. No matter what your past has been, it's not where you've been, but it's where you're going. It's not what you've done, but it's what you're doing now that counts with God. And this woman with an issue of blood, excuse me, please. Rude woman. Excuse me, please. And finally, the way I think I see it, she just fell. She said, I can't get a grip on his garment, but if I can just touch it going down. And she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. I tell you, over the last few days, I've seen some of the hungriest people I've met in a long time. Ministers as well as laity, hungry for God. Folks, if we ever need to rediscover the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we need to rediscover that today. And some of the ministers there were disturbed because some of that stuff is infecting New Zealand. You know, these 30 minutes, get it over with, God, I've got to get home and watch something else, or, you know. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't move on your clock. And you don't put the Holy Ghost in a box. You don't tell God he has 30 minutes to get it on, or you're out of here, or 60 minutes, or 45 minutes. It insults my intelligence. They tell me people can't handle over 12 minutes at the most of ministry. But we can sit and watch Super Bowl for 3 or 4 hours. And all the programs. Folks, you can call it fanaticism, but I'm looking for some fanatics. We need Bible fanatics. We need people that are more fanatical for God than they are for Hollywood. For basketball, football, hockey, baseball, whatever. And you know where I really hit a hot spark there? I mean, you know, Charlie, there in a hotel, they had that big screen down there by the restaurant, one of the places where we were staying. Those rugby people are crazy. I said, they're brain dead. They really are brain dead. They bang their brains so many times. No padding, no protection. They just get there and I saw two of them come head on, blood's running out of the man's head, goes over the sideline, they wrap something around his head, he goes right back out on the field. You don't know if the man's hurt mentally or had a concussion or whatever. And if you could see the look on their face, he couldn't wait to get in the next heap or pile of men. It's the craziest thing I ever saw in life. You had to be crazy to play that game. And I thought, well, I'll just step out on some dangerous ground. I feel kind of brave every once in a while. And I said, God wants you to be more fanatical about Jesus Christ than rugby. And man, they roared and they clapped and they stood up and they got all fired up because they knew I'd nailed it. God wants us to be more excited about Jesus than drag racing. Or car racing. Or anything. Folks, what else is there? What else is there? Now, I'm going to bring it all together here in a few moments. But you see, the woman with the issue of blood. And then the 5,000. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And then the 4,000. They had needs. They heard about Jesus. But essentially, they did not qualify, but they didn't buy into that. They pressed in faith persistence, because it pays. You know, I'm no great whatever, but you know, when I recognized the call of God on my life and God spared my life, I've made mistakes and done some dumb things and probably, hindsight's always 20/20. But I'll tell you one thing, I've never gone back on Jesus since that night on that Waxahachie Highway when I knelt and said, God, you've got me for the rest of my life. Man, every time the church doors were open, I was there. When evangelists be through, I was listening to that. I was listening. Never will forget A.A. Allen coming through preaching on grape eaters and grasshoppers. First time I ever heard that message. And I mean, it was fire in his belly. One of his first meetings on the field years ago. And it came to our little home church. The thing that I want to get over to us, I was thinking about some of the things I've seen. I've really been, God led me because I was talking to this one, talking to that one. They said, well, our daughter's backslidden. Our grandchild's giving us trouble. We have children that say, they're not going to church and or they're going off somewhere, whatever. And I just got ticked at the devil. And I said, I began to just hit that Moses thing. I said, Moses told Pharaoh, said, you're not going, you're not taking your family with you, and you're not taking any of your goods with you. But thank God for Moses. He said, we're going all the way. Our family will go with us. And we're going to take our goods with us. And we need to get that same zeal. There's not one child that's been birthed to any home in this room that God gave you that child to go to hell. And you've got to get mad enough about that, righteously mad enough about that, to say, Satan, they may be on your turf, but you can't have them. You can't have my children. You can't have my grandchildren. Get your filthy hands off my family. And I mean, I love babies. I'm an ex-baby myself. Ex-kid myself. Huh? But listen to me. More important than that precious, beautiful, wonderful miracle of the new life is that one serving God the rest of their life. That's what it's all about. I think it was the first night there in the minister's conference. I called for ministers who are going to come forward, and we're claiming all of our children and all of our grandchildren. Our family's going with us. Precious couple came, and they stood. We prayed, and they were there for the morning session. They said, guess what? Our daughter's going to be here tonight. Next day, see. And while we were praying in that service, this girl who was a prodigal daughter, running from God, I mean, just, you know, didn't want anything to do with dad, mom, and church and home. And, you know, we've been so misused, you know. My parents, some of you, I'm not going to get it. If you don't bring them to church, don't take up my office time. You need to get your children, need to get your grandchildren to church. If you have to bribe them, do whatever you got to. Get them under the influence of the gospel of Christ. Folks, do you realize? Some of you, bless your hearts, you don't know what's on television. It's in your face on airliners, and it's in your face in these hotels. I mean, there is nothing but raw sewage out there that our children and grandchildren are feeding on. I mean, sexual innuendos, and I mean, the whole world. Everything's cool that's not God. That's the diet. See, sin's always been there, but you had to go hunt for it. It's always been available. I'm aware of that. It's all back through the Old Testament. But you know, it was available, but you had to go look for it. And if you knew where to find it, it made it a little quicker and a little easier to go find sin. But folks, it's time. Jesus is coming soon. And the next night, they came forward, beautiful blonde young lady. Her name was Shekinah. Got a good name to begin with. And they said, Pastor Nichols, you tell them, Shekinah. She said, last night, she said, about the time you all were praying here, she said, I had a visitation of God in my room. That's what she said. A visitation of God. God made himself real to me. And I cried out to God, and I realized what a mess I was in. And there was a call waiting at the hotel when her parents got back to the hotel that night. Mom and Dad, I want to come home. No strings attached. No yeah. I'm coming home if you'll let me. And I want to be with you in church tomorrow night. Man, I'll tell you, she was radiant. She was smiling. See, she was set free before she ever got to church. And I'm telling you, God can change your children and God can change your grandchildren. He changed Saul on the road to Damascus, and he can change your children, and he can change your grandchildren and your family. I tell you, power of God fell after I preached that morning. We were praying for people, and they said, Pastor, we have to catch it. We have to catch an airline. It was the cutest little airport, no security. It's like Alice in Wonderland, you know, no security and all the hassle you normally go through. Beautiful, cute little airport, cute little airplanes, and they had a commuter plane. I said, Pastor, we've got to go catch that plane back to Auckland. I was praying for people on both sides of the aisle. And I said, praise the Lord! And they'd all leave. Praise the Lord! I walked out the back door, and they were praying. I could hear them as I got in the car, still praising God. One man got so carried away that he drove 2.5 hours over to Auckland that afternoon. And got with 10 members of his family that needed Jesus. And he said, "Do you love me? Do you honor me?" "Oh, yes, yes." He said, "All right, I have one request to ask of you. Only one. Go to church with me tonight." They thought, well, that's an easy one. And they came to church that night, and as I was preaching, I mean, I came that close not to giving an altar call. And I looked at it, it just seemed like it was believer's night, you know. But I saw one young man that I knew he was in trouble. I could just tell it. And I said, "Brother Charlie, come up here. Let's see if anybody needs Jesus here tonight." Do you know that all 10 members of his family stood to their feet and came forward and gave their hearts to Jesus? And we prayed for each of them. And as we prayed for the little guy that I knew for sure needed Jesus, didn't realize he was not only a drug user, he was a drug dealer. Wiry little guy. Beady, dark eyes. I mean, and man, when we prayed for him, I mean, he started manifesting. Well, Brother Charlie, another one of the men, was it his grandfather or father that, yeah, you guys stayed with him. And about 5 minutes later, he got up off the floor with a smile on his face. I mean, it took 3 or 4 people to hold him down there for a while. Oh, I'm telling you, God's bigger than any devil. God's bigger than any demon. God's bigger than any lie of hell. My, my. I'll tell you, God's good. But you see, this dad, he said, well, there's no sense in driving over there. They may not all be at home. And, he could have, he got in his car and made all 10 calls and had them all in church that night. No big deal, just to get them saved. No big deal, just go to church on Sunday night. Yeah. Try it, it'll work. I know everyone can't, but it works. Now, you know, there's so many things that have happened, but let me just pull some things in here. Then there's the woman with the issue of blood. We talked about her. She came, she pressed in. The last night we were there, Benny Hinn was in a crusade, 2-night crusade there. And so we were there on the platform with him, and the host pastor was sitting next to him, which was proper. And then I was right next to the host pastor there. And before that packed out arena that night, he said, "Pastor Bob Nichols, you and your church and Lighthouse Television are responsible for us having one of the most successful crusades we've ever had. Just had it in Uganda. And that one's full where he is right now." I mean, that night. And you know, it was so interesting. You know, not many people get on the platform. You know, you see some people prayed for. Have you ever seen the long lines? And you don't have time. What he does, he ministers the word. People get healed, and then they come forward and give their testimony. They don't have to give their testimony to be healed, but you like to hear testimonies. They need further ministry, then he ministers. I saw Benny just flat-footed stand there for about 4 hours. He had 4 different services. Yeah, yeah. He gave, first of all, started with the salvation message, and then he had a healing message, then he had an offering message, and then I forget what the 4th one was. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then he sang all those songs that he sings. Let me hit something else here. You know, we think, well, you know, my match only strikes on one box. If you don't just sing it my way, let me say, go for the anointing. It's not the style of something. You know, somebody says, well, I just don't even receive old church. Boy, in hell, you'd take anything. And it's amazing. I know in Dallas, I thought, well, now, Benny's going to have youth night tomorrow. He's going to have the latest bang, bang, bang in, you know. You know what he did? Sang the same songs he sings all the time. Because there's a, you know, the secret to Benny Hinn is he's one of the greatest praise leaders in the world. He knows how to get people into the presence of God. And if you can get in his presence is fullness. He is a very able minister. But after that we were behind the platform, we talked for some time, and he was really elated about that. But let me tell you a testimony. I think it kind of ties some things together here. Glory to God. One of the women that came on the platform been gloriously healed, and he prayed for, and God did a further work. There's so many things happened. I cannot tell. It was just a miracle. I remember it was a miracle, Charlie. I remember it was a miracle. And she said, "You don't know what a miracle it is for me to be here tonight." He said, "Oh, my sister, tell me, you know." It's like when the music, he said, "Let as loud as we can sing. You know, he has his way of doing it, and it works. And you know what this lady said? She said, I came that night. Now, if the arena was full, the fire marshal said, not one more person can get in this building. The fire marshal's got the doors covered. His right-hand man came and said, Pastor Benny, we can't get anybody else in this building. The fire marshal said, we're over, way over the limit now. Several thousand people had to be turned away. And he said, how did you get here tonight? She said, well, I came, and I came to the door, and they said, no one else can enter the building. I said, but I need to get... No, I'm sorry, lady. Now, there are five major entrances to that building. So she goes to the next door. And she tries to go in there, and they say, I'm sorry, lady. No one else can enter the building. No one else can enter the building. So she goes to the third door. And she finds the same thing. No, you can't enter the building. She's relating this story. A woman came, couldn't get in, she thought. But you know what? She went to the fifth door, and nobody was watching that door. Now, some of you sharp folks are ahead of me right now. There's a door for you. God has a door for you. No, 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 no. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. God has an open door just for you. God has an open door just for you. Can't get in the building? Move up higher. We'll go to the roof. We'll take the roof off. Because faith always finds a way to do the will of God. You know, some of us are really neophytes in faith. We think we know a lot about it. You need to go to that bookstore and get you some of those good books on faith and read about what Smith Wigglesworth said and some of the others. Folks, we haven't even scratched the surface of what God wants us to do. And it's going to cost money. It's going to cost money to do all the things that God's called us to do. It's not all money, but it does cost money. The airlines wouldn't give us tickets on my good looks. Even Brother Charlie. Airlines want their money. Hotels want their money. Restaurants want their money. Even if it's all you can eat, they still want their money. But church, I want to just extend this challenge to us. You know, last night in youth, I started praying for all the young people, and God said, no, just the ones that want to be prayed for. So I prayed for two or three, and I just backed off and stood there. And then one by one, young people began to come up that wanted to be prayed for. You know, it's that same way in New Zealand. Man, those people were so hungry for God, dear Lord. The ministers, they said, we're seeking impartation. The generals have passed away. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin's gone. And they named some others. Dr. Summerall's gone. We need some fathers. We need the anointing. The impartation of men who have held steady. Done the will of God. Whew. I said, well, such as I have, it all came from God. Church, get a hold of what I'm telling you today. It's not going to happen because you're taking notes right now. I had one evangelist that came and he said, this is the most amazing church. I've never seen a church taking notes. I said, well, God bless you. They bring their Bibles. He didn't even bring his. Got a notice on the pulpit there. Please give a clear-cut altar call in every service, and some folks can't read. That's why we do it ourselves most of the time. Hello. We swing the bat from the left, we swing it from the right. And if we'd not given that altar call that night in Auckland, 10 people could have gone into eternity. That young man on drugs, who was a drug dealer himself, could have been in eternity by now. Folks, I just keep going back to that woman. Well, I came and I couldn't get the building. So I went from one door. And then I went to the next door. They said, no, you can't go through this door. We'd have quit by that time. And she knew, I'm going to the next door. And then I'm going to the next door. And the fifth door. They just weren't watching it. And She was in there. And she got her miracle. She got her miracle. I said she got her miracle. Hey, 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 hey! She got a miracle! Praise God! Good things happen not only to people who wait, but people who are persistent in their faith toward God. You've heard me. You've heard me. In fact, I appreciate one of our... Some of you, I really listen real close to you because I know you've been hearing me for a while. Someone said, Pastor, we see a new fire burning in you. I said, it's there. Praise God, it's there. You know, we get this thing so departmentalized. It's not youth over here and singles over here and adults over here. And, you know, we get this thing so, everything's got to be so, we're family. We're family. We're family. I said, we're family. The family of God. We need each other. Amen. And I'll tell you, there's just a new fire and a new fuel to me. You know, sometimes you just kind of defer to this one, defer to the, you know, I love to see everybody enjoy the journey. But I'm going to tell you, as long as I'm pastor of this church, I'll be pastor of this church. And as long as God says do it, I'll do it. And the fire of God is there. You have to live a little while to know how to live. And I'll tell you one of the things, and I'm going to throw this one out as the last one. You know God's calling for a new humility of heart and brokenness? It's not what you know, it's what you do. Leadership is not what you've read and studied, it's how you conduct yourself, what you say and what you don't say. It's being in there for the long haul. It's treating people with dignity and respect and love. People are the ministry. You know, I see this in traveling all the time. I mean, people, you know, traveling will bring out the absolute worst in you because you're tired and everything depends on somebody's decision. And, you know, now you've got your security and you see a person, you wonder if they sign their name with an X and they can give you the biggest bad time. So you just learn to be quiet, keep a low profile. You just do what? Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. But folks, it's time that we realize Jesus is coming soon. And some of the folks that, you know, I had sized up, I thought, we're going to have some problems here, turned out to be a lapdog. Turned out to be a person that was hungry for God. You know, somebody that looks hard may just be going through a hard time. Somebody that looks so hard to deal with. We've got to have a new love for people. We've got to love one another. Got to care about one another. Help one another. Amen? And I'm just going to make a flat out statement. There's nobody here, including myself, that's any big deal at all. What do we have except what God has given us? I'm nothing without Him. I go on these trips and I think, my Lord, why am I going here? Because there's so many wonderful ministries in the world. But when I get there, the Holy Ghost is there. And God begins to work. And I just shake my head, go back to my room weeping one more time, saying, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, the thing that I want you to get today. Syrophoenician, Greek woman. She's not eligible. She has a need. Her daughter needs to be delivered. But she's not eligible. But real faith always finds a way to do the will of God. You know, Jesus, one more time, let me just hit that. He said, well, woman, you know, she said, well, you know, even the little dogs get the crumbs under the table. And you know what that woman was saying was this, I may be a dog, but I'm your dog. Call me what you are. And the final point that I want to make is something that I've read this so many times and I didn't see it. I want you to notice in that same chapter that Jesus said this in verse 28. We're in the 7th chapter of Mark. And she answered and said unto him, well, let's go back to verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Church, are you listening to me? In my Bible, chapter 7 of Mark, verse 29, and he said unto her, for this saying. For what saying? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Call me a dog, call me whatever you want to call me. Just call me delivered. Call my family delivered. Oh, call me whatever you want to call me. Just call me redeemed, blood washed, set free by the power of God. So I'm a dog, big deal. I'm your dog, Jesus. And Jesus said, for your saying. I'm not saying that right. I don't know. I don't think I'm connecting. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, just nothing shakes this woman. Just nothing. She just says, okay, so I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. And Jesus said, for your saying, your mouth, the confession of your faith, the belief of your, what you just said, your daughter's free. I want you to know that God has an answer. There's an open door for you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You got needs? God has solutions. Got questions? God has answers.